And Judas became so overwhelmed with guilt that, first of all, he tried to take care of his guilt by going and giving the money back and confessing to the priest. And they refused his confession. And so the guilt went to another level where he just couldn't take it anymore, and he went out and committed suicide. This guilt is killing me. What is it that's eating away at you today? Is there something that you have done that's just bothering you, that just stays on your conscience? Well, you've come to the right place today, because we want to help you to be able to deal with any guilt that you might be experiencing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of This Guilt is Killing Me. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of This Guilt is Killing Me.
At the age of 15, Robert Garth was a track star, and he was invited to the Junior Olympics. He grew up in a rather poor family, and as he prepared to leave to go to the Junior Olympics, he realized that he didn't have anything decent to wear. There were many people in his family, and there just wasn't enough money for him to be able to get what he needed. Not wanting to be embarrassed when he went to the Junior Olympics, while he was up one night, he thought of a plan how he could get money to buy some track clothes. The problem was is that he worked for an individual named Joseph Massari, and he figured that when Joseph paid him, that he always paid him in cash. So his plan was that early next morning that he would get up, he would go to the warehouse, he would hide, and when Massari came, he would hit him in the head and take the money that he had. Well, he rose early the next day, he made it to the plant, and as he got there, Massari came in, but something went wrong in the plant. Robert Garth made a noise, and Massari turned around and saw him coming at him with a club in his hand. And Massari said, "I'll give you whatever you want." But panicking, Garth took the club and struck the man in the head. He fell to the ground. He went through his wallet and found $67. The next day, Garth left to go to the Junior Olympics, not knowing that Massari had been rushed to the hospital, and later on, he died. As Garth got word that Massari had died, his life was never the same. He went through high school, and he struggled. He ran track, but he just didn't run it the same. He had difficulty in dealing with his schoolwork. And as a matter of fact, the only way that he made it through high school as a young person was that he constantly went to school drunk every day. As he went out and went into adulthood, he got married, but his marriage never worked out because he was always under this guilt of thinking about what he did to Massari. He had struggles in his marriage, and his wife just couldn't stand this dark personality that was inside of him because he kept hiding something that nobody else knew was going on. He ended up moving back home after splitting with his wife and his three children. He tried to get a job, and it seemed like nothing ever worked out. He tried job after job after job, and things never really came together for him. Fast forward about 15 years, Garth is now 30 years old, walking the streets of Detroit, and he still can't get away from his guilt. On many occasions, he contemplated suicide. He desired to take his life. He just couldn't live in this life anymore. One day, as he was walking down the street, this guilt was so heavy on him that he went to the police station and he told them that he was the one that killed Musari. And the police couldn't believe it, that he would turn himself in, and they thought it was some type of a joke. But since he confessed, they put him in jail and they held him until they could check out his story. And when they checked out his story, they found out that truly he was the one that 15 years ago had killed Musari. The judge, being impressed by the fact that Garth had turned himself in, decided that he would show him some leniency and take a little bit away from his sentence. And he would only have to serve a couple of years and then he would go free. Some of Masari's friends that realized this was happening became irate and became upset that their friend had been killed and that this man would be released after only a couple years of being in jail. When Garth got word that this was the case, this was his response. He said, "My time in prison was easy compared to the 15 years I lived with my crime in my mind. No incarceration in my mind of guilt was worse than anything I had ever done in my life. Nothing they could ever do to me by incarcerating me for even the rest of my life could measure up to the awful sense of being in the prison of my own guilt for the 15 years that I hid my sin." Here was an individual whose guilt just overwhelmed him. Here was an individual whose life was turned upside down because of his guilt. As we look in the Word of God today, we see in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew an individual who was dealing with guilt. This individual was Judas. And we know that Judas betrayed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And after Judas betrayed Christ, the guilt upon Judas was so heavy that we read in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3, "Then Judas, who had betrayed him," that is Christ, "when he saw that he was condemned, repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." And I want to talk to you on this subject today. This guilt is killing me. This guilt is killing me. Robert Garth labored 15 years with guilt. His guilt was killing him. Maybe you're hiding some secret today from a family member, from a spouse, from somebody that's important in your life, and the guilt is just weighing on you and the guilt is eating you away. There are guilty feelings that are around all of us. I was reading about a man who was on a diet and he ate something that he was not supposed to eat. And his wife came and confronted him about the fact that he ate something that was not on his diet. And instead of him coming clean, he lied to his wife and said that he didn't eat it. And then he got angry with himself because he lied to his wife. And afterwards, he was riddled with guilt. He felt guilty, number one, because he ate the wrong thing. He felt guilty, number two, because he lied to his wife. And he felt guilty, number three, because he got angry. And so we see that guilt is all around us. Even as we think about some of the newfangled things that are out there, America Online has a special section dealing with guilt. In this section, there are topics such as relationship guilt, parental guilt, food guilt, workforce guilt, pricey guilt, I'm a rotten person guilt, stay in touch guilt, trying to please everybody guilt. And so we realize that guilt is a very significant issue in our life today. And the bottom line is that many people are looking for a way not to feel guilty. Just think about this. We have guilt-free desserts. You can go guilt-free shopping. And I even saw one place where there was a site for people who homeschooled that was entitled Guilt-Free Homeschooling. So guilt is something that is in our hearts and that we deal with. And as we look at the message today, we think about Judas. And here was Judas, who had betrayed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the time, what he did felt right to him. And even to the point where he sold Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. And when they came to the garden, that he kissed Christ and he pointed out who Jesus Christ was, and that they took Christ and began the steps to hang him on a cross. And Judas became so overwhelmed with guilt that, first of all, he tried to take care of his guilt by going and giving the money back and confessing to the priest. And they refused his confession. And so the guilt went to another level where he just couldn't take it anymore, and he went out and committed suicide. This guilt is killing me. What is it that's eating away at you today? Is there something that you have done that's just bothering you, that just stays on your conscience? Well, you've come to the right place today, because we want to help you to be able to deal with any guilt that you might be experiencing. We are in the midst of a series. The series is titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. And we've covered a wide variety of issues already, and so we've come to this topic today. As we look at guilt, the definition of guilt, we see that according to Gary Collins, who is a Christian counselor, he defines guilt as the uncomfortable feeling of regret, remorse, shame, and self-condemnation that often comes when we have done or thought something that we feel is wrong, or we fail to do something that we should have done. So this is when guilt comes. Guilt often comes when maybe we did something, and I'm going to talk about it in a second. We've done something that we shouldn't have done, or maybe we're supposed to do something and we didn't do it. And now all of a sudden we have these feelings of regret, of remorse, of shame, of self-condemnation that's associated with that. And that is what guilt is. What are some causes of guilt as we consider this topic this morning? Well, let me turn your attention to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, we see another association with the death of Christ, somebody else who was guilty. And this individual was the Apostle Peter. And Peter told Christ that if everybody denies you, if everybody turns and runs from you, Lord, I'll be one that will stick with you to the end. Lord, I'll be one that won't turn my back on you. And so we see Peter, when he is confronted on several different occasions, he denies Christ. And the last time he denies him is in chapter 26 and verse 75. And it says, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter was under so much conviction, and he was feeling so much guilt, that the scripture says he went out and he wept bitterly. We see Peter experience guilt. The cause of his guilt was the fact that he had denied Christ. What are some causes of guilt? Well, first we see one cause of guilt might be the fact that you failed to do something that you were supposed to do. Maybe somebody asked you to do something. Maybe you committed to do something. I remember I told somebody, you know, that I was going to do something, and I didn't do it. And the next day I was driving my father's car, and I saw this person walking up the street. And I didn't want to see him, and I came to a corner, and I made a turn real quick so that I could duck this person, and I ran right into a fence. And see, you know, guilt. You know, that's how much the guilt was on me, because I said that I was going to do something that I didn't do. And maybe you're here today. You've told somebody you're going to do something and you didn't do it, and now guilt is all over you. Sometimes guilt is caused by failure to meet certain expectations. Sometimes by family members. Sometimes they can be by employers and even church. Now, oftentimes these expectations are unrealistic, that maybe people put unrealistic expectations on you. We see this a lot in families, that maybe little children growing up. You know, you look at our society today, and you see these little children in these competitions. You see these little children in beauty competitions and this competition, and just think of the pressure that's on those little children. There's pressure to live up to a certain level. There's pressure to do a certain thing. And can you imagine what it's like when they don't live up? The guilt that comes upon them and that maybe even follows them for the rest of their life because they fail to meet expectations of parents, of family. You know, even you have to be careful. You know, I pray to God that people that serve at Bethany Baptist Church would not serve out of guilt. I pray that you would serve out of conviction. I pray that you would serve out of the fact that God has touched you and that God has called you and that you're not there because, and that's, you know, you'll never hear me preach a sermon to guilt people into something. You know, I get criticized a whole lot. I'm going to tell you, I get criticized a whole lot because I don't say a whole lot about money. I don't. You know, and other preachers say, man, you mean to tell me you? I don't say a whole lot. This is my philosophy. My philosophy is if God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. That's my philosophy. If he don't have your heart, then he don't have your pocketbook. And I'm not going to stand up here and try to guilt folks into giving. Because you can do that. I mean, I can stand. I hear preachers doing it all the time and using the Bible to justify. And so sometimes even in the church, you know, we can try to guilt folks into doing something. You know, I don't stand up here and guilt folk. And every year we meet our budget. Every year, every bill that needs to be paid is paid. I don't try to guilt folk. Look, we got $700,000 committed, $200,000, $10 raised because people's hearts are in tune with God. So you don't have to stand up here and try to guilt folks. Don't try to guilt folks into serving God because what happens is you put those expectations, and when the person's doing it out of guilt, now what happens? All these feelings of condemnation come back down on them again. Some people commit moral failures. And when they commit a moral failure, then they become guilty. Whatever that moral failure may be. Maybe a lying, maybe stealing, maybe adultery. You know, whatever the case might be, they commit a moral failure and now they are riddled with guilt. Some people feel that they have committed a sin which cannot be forgiven. And we're going to talk about that later. And they labor under the guilt that they can never be right with God because they've done something that is so heinous that it cannot be revoked. And so it's amazing the number of people that I run into who are laboring under the fact that they feel that they've done something that God cannot forgive them. Some people labor under guilt because they accept responsibility for something that happened that was beyond their control. And there may be some people here today that's dealing with this. I find this is especially true when people die. That when people die, I've heard this so many times. If I would have did this, if I wouldn't have done that, maybe that person might still be here. If I wouldn't have did this, maybe that person might still be there. And so here they're associating something that they failed to do or something that they did with the fact that this person died. And so now they begin to labor under this guilt. So those are some causes of guilt. How do people handle guilt? That when guilt comes on individuals, how do they handle it? Well, some people are like Adam, that when he sinned, when he disobeyed in the garden, and he knew that he had disobeyed, and that before that, Adam had absolutely no feeling of shame, no feeling of remorse. But look what happens. You take a being that God created in almost perfection, and everything is going along smooth in his life, and then he disobeys. And all of a sudden, what is the first thing that he does? He goes and hides himself. Why did he hide himself? Guilt. He didn't, before that, there was no such thing as guilt. He didn't know guilt. He didn't understand guilt. But all of a sudden, after he disobeyed, now guilt comes on him. And there are a lot of people that try to hide their guilt by medicating. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about this thing, this remorse that's eating away at them like a cancer. Day after day after day, it just eats away at you. It robs you of your joy. It robs you of your relationships because this guilt is over your head and you're laboring underneath this guilt. And so in order to deal with it, you try to hide by drinking, by doing all type of things that will take your mind off of the guilt. So Adam's way of dealing with his guilt was he wouldn't hit himself. Or some people are like Judas. They become enslaved to their guilt. And so the people that hide it, they just sweep it away and try to keep on with their life. But somebody like Judas, his guilt overwhelmed him. And it overwhelmed him to the point, and this thing was so heavy on him that he went out and he took his own life. I heard about this little boy who was visiting his grandparents, and they brought him a slingshot. And he went out in the forest, and he was practicing shooting the slingshot. And he was trying to hit a tree. And he missed the tree time after time after time. So he figured that, you know, I'm not a very good shot here with this slingshot. So he was walking back to his house, his grandparents' house, and he saw his grandmother's duck. She had a duck out in the yard. And he took the slingshot, and he aimed it at the duck. And he hit the duck right in the head and killed the duck. And his little sister was standing there. And she said, "Oh, I saw what you did." And so he took the duck real quick and got it and put it under some wood. And so they were getting ready to have lunch. And grandmother said that, "I need somebody to put out the setting." And his sister said, "Oh, Johnny will do it." And then she went over and said, "Remember the duck." And then grandpa later on was getting ready to go fishing. And he asked the grandkids if they wanted to go fishing. And grandma said, "Well, I need somebody to help me make dinner." And his sister said, "Johnny will do it." And she said, "Remember the duck." And so he just was under so much guilt and so much anguish that he went and he confessed to his grandmother. And he told his grandmother that, "I killed the duck." And his grandmother said, "Johnny, I know." She said, "I was standing in the window when you did the whole thing, and I saw what you did. Because I love you, I forgave you. And I wondered how long you were going to let your sister make you her slave." And isn't that what guilt does? Guilt makes you a slave. And God says, "I love you. God says, I've forgiven you." But here you are, you're continuing to let guilt make you be its slave. So what are you doing with your guilt today, saints? Are you hiding your guilt, or are you becoming a slave to your guilt? Well, what's one way that people become a slave to their guilt? We see that in the results of guilt. When you think about the results of guilt, what does guilt do? Guilt enslaves people. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. David had committed a sin with Bathsheba. And after he committed the sin with Bathsheba, she was with child. And David called her husband from the front line doing battle, because David felt convicted, and David wanted his man, his soldier, which was also Bathsheba's husband, to come and sleep with Bathsheba. So he got him a night at the Ramada Inn.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of "This Guilt Is Killing Me." If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, "This Guilt Is Killing Me," you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request "This Guilt Is Killing Me." That's anchoredinjesus.org and request "This Guilt Is Killing Me." Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.